I always say that on a Sunday when there are many testimonies, it's a good Sunday, and this is a good Sunday. I think lots of testimonies. Our question today is, do I have to go to church? Do I have to go to church? Do I have to go to church? In English, we have an expression. It's called preaching to the choir. And basically, it's when the preacher is in his message, you know, talking about something that the congregation or the people listening, they already know or they already do. And that's called preaching to the choir. You know, you might be looking at the title and thinking, well, I'm here. what's all the fuss about? But before I begin, let me just say that this message is for you. God brought you here for this message, put this message in my mouth. And if he wanted somebody else to listen to it, then he would have brought them. So, you know, sometimes we think, oh, this is, you know, when we're listening to a sermon or listening to a good message, so-and-so should listen to this, or this is just right for this person. And I'm always reminded, no, God made you listen to this, so it's for you. All right. We're in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. And it's just two verses. We're going to read them together. Let us begin. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. About 2001, maybe 2002, I had a coworker at the school I was working at. She had just arrived about 5 months earlier, and she and I were just talking during one of our breaks, and she was telling me about, you know, just the people that she was meeting, and her new flower arrangement class, and her new friends. And she was, you know, telling me, you know, Chris, I'm meeting people, but I'm really not having a chance to make good connections with people. I'm having trouble, you know, building, you know, real relationships with the people around me. Do you have that problem? And I honestly looked at her and I said, you know, when I first came here, I just went to the church that I'm going to now, and the people there from day one I've had a good connection with, and we're good friends, and I've really honestly have no problem finding people to connect with and make good relationships with, even from the beginning. And she thought about that. She said, you know, that's something nice about you Christians. You know, you can go anywhere, find a church, and you have this instant community. You know, it's like instant ramen or something. You know, just put some hot water on there and there we go. But I thought that was interesting that she would say that Christians and the Christian community, also known as the church, you know, but she failed to see something very important about church and about Christian community. That the reason I go to church is much more than just to find friends, to find people I can relate to. It's much more than that. If you are here as a foreigner, one of the things that will determine whether your life here in Japan was worth the time is the relationships that you make or cultivate here at church. This doesn't mean that the church relationships are the only relationships that that are worth having, but it means that a trip to Japan without having made real connections with brothers and sisters in Christ is a trip that I think is kind of wasted. Now, for the native Japanese person, let me say that it's so important to understand that church goes much deeper than just another social gathering or a social network or a club or, you know, a circle. We cannot approach church the same way that we approach our exercise class. You cannot consider church the same way that you would consider a PTA. You can't think about relationships at church the same way that you consider your relationships, you know, on an internet circle or something like that. The truth is everyone can have instant community. You know, foreigners can come and they have the instant bar community. You just go to the local bar and you have people you can relate to, your drinking buddies. There's the instant sports community or the instant hobby community. There's the instant work community. And these all, you know, they meet a kind of need in us, but the church community is so much more than this. When you come to church, you get something completely different from what you'd get normally. It says, actually, in a couple pages over in Hebrews chapter 12, you know, you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of the righteous men made perfect. Our church relationships are forever. We are eternal. And they're going to last a lot longer. Even longer than our own family relationships. And we can be encouraged by this. We have a bond that is so fundamentally greater in value than our non-Christian friends or our co-workers. And so this compels us. This moves us to have deeper, more meaningful relationships. And it doesn't end when we die. And it doesn't end when we lose interest. Or when the pastor dies, or when we move to a new country or a new city. This relationship in church that we have with people lasts forever, on into eternity. Now, okay, this church, it's true. This church has lots of programs. It has, you know, the gospel choir. It's kind of the bridge into our community. It has events, concerts, and different things that invite many people from the community. In fact, Pastor Hiroshi started this year. Basically, he opened up the church and said, if you want to start a club or a circle, you can do it at this church. So, like on the weekdays, this church is like a community center, you know. But let's make one thing absolutely clear. The purpose of these things is for one thing and for one thing only. That is to give people who come to this church, whether it's a concert, a gospel choir, or a circle club, a chance to hear and accept the message of salvation that's found in the cross of Jesus Christ. That is it. The purpose of the gospel choir, the concerts, the clubs, is not to provide entertainment or, you know, a group of friends, or, you know, just to use up time. We want to do whatever it takes to give people a chance to meet God here, to hear his message of love, and to give them an opportunity to receive that gift of grace, eternal life, and to enter into the kingdom of God. That's it. There's no hidden agenda. There's no bait and switch. There's no secret handshake. You know, that's the message, plain and simple. It's to give anyone who walks in through these doors that chance. Now, whether that person who comes in is a Christian or a non-Christian, there are a couple of reasons that God brings them here to this church. And today I want to just talk about those couple of reasons. Why did God bring me to this church? Why did God bring you to this church? Let me tell you why. The first reason is that you have needs that only God can meet. You have needs. All of us have a need that only God can meet, and He meets those needs through this church. And that number one need, that first need that we all need, every human being on the face of the earth needs from God, is grace, the gift of grace. That is our number one need. That's what every person on this earth needs. We are men and women who are eternal. We are eternal beings. Therefore, we have to have a right relationship with God as human beings. And that right relationship begins with grace. Grace. Every human needs grace. It says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We all need grace, and it starts with God and us. That's where church begins, is our relationship with God and that grace that we receive from Him. One of my favorite songs right now is a song called If Not For Your Grace. Where would I be if not for Your grace, carrying me in every season? Where would I be if not for Your grace? You came to my rescue, and I want to thank You for Your grace. Grace that restores, grace that redeems, grace that releases me to worship, grace that repairs visions and dreams, grace that releases miracles, Your grace. I love this song because that is the essence of my need. I need to be restored. I need to be redeemed. I need to be released to worship God. And the grace from God is basically God's gift of forgiveness to us. Grace is God's gift of compassion, His gift of mercy, and the church is where you find it. Where you can't find that grace, that compassion from your work friends or your coworkers. You can't find it from your drinking buddies, or when you can't find compassion in your exercise circle or your Ikebana class. Maybe you can't even find grace in your own family or your so-called friends. You come to church and you will find God waiting for you with open arms, bringing you in, His grace covering you, welcoming you, listening to you, praying with you, redeeming you, restoring you. He's bringing you back from that messy place in your mind and in your heart, bringing you back from destruction and despair. That is the grace of God, and that is something we all need. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. Grace starts with us and God. We will never learn to give grace to others unless we learn to receive grace. Am I right? We can't learn to forgive until we have truly received forgiveness. That was at one point in my life, the number one need that I had was to forgive the one person that hurt me the deepest, the most. And it wasn't until I understood what it meant that God gave me grace. I did not deserve forgiveness, but in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, right? In our scripture today, while we were yet sinners, God forgave us. And we received that grace, and because He can forgive us, man, that freed me to forgive that one person. I didn't need to forgive the whole world. I needed to forgive one person. And that was all I needed, was to do that. And I found that at church. Church is where we learn to forgive. Why? Because look, it's like marriage. When you're married, that's with that person for good. And so you're either going to have to get along, or it's not going to work. And so you have to learn how to forgive, how to be kind, how to be compassionate. Otherwise, man, it's not going to work. And that's the same thing here. We are in this for good, for eternity. We have to learn to get along. We have to learn to be kind and compassionate and forgive each other. And so God is giving us grace, but he's also working on our character in the process of that grace relationship. And that's also another need that we have, is that a need to develop our character. It says in 2 Corinthians, there should be a two before that, Corinthians chapter 3:18, and we are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord. We are being transformed into his likeness. A very wise pastor said, God's number one purpose in your life is not to make you happy, but it's to make you like him, like his son, to shape your character into his son's character. In the beginning, in Genesis, when he first made us, he said, let us make man in our image. And from that time, he's been waiting to do that in us. That is a need only he can fulfill. And through church, through our church relationships, through our worship time, through our testimony time, through our Bible study time, through our fellowship time, through our potlucks, God is doing the work of molding and shaping our characters into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And now God also knows that this is not easy. This is a struggle, and he understands that, you know, all of us, we're working full time, double time. We're trying to pay the bills. We're trying to provide for our family. We're trying to save some money. We're trying to not go under. And it's difficult, and it's hard. And for many of us, it's a struggle. Our scripture today comes from Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. And let me tell you a little bit about the church of, the Hebrews, to whom the letter was written to, those Hebrew Christians. The Christians in that time were going through terrible persecution. Very difficult hardship. They were being attacked. Their homes, their businesses, their families were under tremendous pressure. And many of them were thinking, wow, this is just too much. This is too much. Forget it. I'm going to give up. And they stopped going to church. And so one of the reasons the author of Hebrews wrote that letter was to encourage those Christians not to give up going to church. He says in chapter 3, let's encourage each other daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And then in chapter 10, our scripture, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some have already started doing. They've started giving up on it. And the day, as you see the day approaching, that day that the Bible is talking about, is the day when all of the struggle, when all of the difficulty, when all of the strife is finished, and it will be over, and when we get to meet the Lord. But until that day, you can't give up. Don't give up. You can't give in to all the trouble and just throw your hands up and say, that's it, I'm done. I can't do it. It's too much. The best way to keep up the fight, to keep your faith going, here it says, to not give up meeting together, to encourage one another. Are you discouraged sometimes about your walk with God? Do you feel like, you know, is God even listening to your prayers? Do you feel like, man, I don't know if I can make it, just be a Christian in this life? You know, there's peace in him and there's joy in her. There's victory in their lives. Well, how about me? What's happening here? And it's discouraging, and sometimes it's a struggle. And the scriptures tell us, look, if you want to be encouraged, if you want to be lifted up, go to church. Meet with a brother and a sister. Send an email and say, I need prayer. Make a phone call. Encourage one another and build each other up. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You, plural. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. As you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. We all have a need for grace. We all have a need for character. And we all have a need for encouragement and admonishment and building up of each other. And that's a place, this is the place where only that can happen, because it's a need that only God can meet. That's the reason God brought you to this church. That's the first reason. There's one more reason God brought you to this church, and I'm going to tell you that right now. The second reason God brought you here is because the church has a need that only you can meet, that only you can fulfill. The church has a need only you can fulfill. There's a one picture that God uses over and over to describe the church. One picture, one image. That picture is the body. In many places, God describes the church as a body. And here's just one of them in 1 Corinthians. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, my intention was actually not to preach on this month, but we're actually going to start a series just in the next month or so about the church and about the body of Christ, and we're going to go into this more and more detail later on, and we got the privilege of Daryl to share some of his insights with us as well. But for now, I want us to get this basic idea. When God describes us as a body, he's trying to get us to think about two things. The first is growth, and the second is unity. Growth and unity. When I think about my son, he's just a body. He's not even a full person yet. He's just a little body, and all he's doing is growing. That's all. That's his number one job, is to wake up and grow, right? And God is saying, we need to grow. We need to grow. And that's what he's talking about when he calls us a body. And he does this by pointing out, just as a body has many parts, each of us also are many, but we all have a job and a function. The right hand has a job and is different from the left hand. The right leg has a job. It's different from the left leg. Now, what good would I be if I had two left hands and no right hand? Right? And how silly would it be for me to have two mouths and no ears? Now, my wife thinks maybe that's how I am sometimes. I have two mouths and no ears. But that's a different issue. I was in class the other day, and my students were doing their lesson, and I had a break. And so in the middle of class, I sat down on the table. And, when I like to sit, I just like to sit and relax, kind of lounge. And I'm sitting there, and the students are doing the work. And my leg falls asleep. Maybe some of your legs are asleep right now. Just the left leg, just the blood doesn't go, right? And I can't, you can't feel it. And I'm sitting there, and my leg is just, dead. I'm falling asleep. And suddenly, one of my students raises her hand. Sensei! Sensei! And, I like to get up and go. So I get up, and I can't even walk to my student. I'm falling over myself because my leg had fallen asleep. And that's what a lot of us here do. And I'm not saying anybody here specifically, but sometimes we do that. We let ourselves fall asleep. And that really hurts the body. Because God is trying to meet needs inside the church, outside the church, in the city. People are raising their hand, crying out to God, help me. I need you to come to answer this question in my life. And some of us have fallen asleep. We don't do the part that God made us to do. There's a need here that God brought you to fulfill. And only you can do it. You're the left leg. You're the right leg. You're the left hand, the right hand. And when you don't come to church, you're not just hurting you, you're hurting the body of Jesus Christ. And that's what God is saying. We're a body. We need to wake up and not let ourselves fall asleep. And whether you're here for that first need, to receive that grace, that gift of grace from God, or whether you're here to fulfill that second need, to do something that God has called you to do, I pray that you find that here at this church. And it doesn't have to be here. I was coming back from the Philippines. As you all know, I had a great trip. I thank you very much for your prayers. I sent an email to almost all of you. Some of you were not able to receive it, but I just had a great time with my family. I had a chance to say goodbye to my grandmother, a wonderful woman in the Lord, and I had some great food, and I praise God for that. But on my way back, I was on the plane, and I don't like to talk to anybody on the plane. I'm one of those people who just, you know, get in my zone. It's my reading time. And I try to, tell everybody. I have my earphones on. I get my book, and I'm kind of, leaning over. And I'm sitting in my seat before takeoff, and I just happen to be reading my Bible for that day. I do my daily Bible reading. And I was kind of hoping that the person next to me would notice I'm reading my Bible, and they don't, usually people don't want to talk about religion. So if they see a Bible, don't talk to him. So I had that going for me. And so I'm sitting there reading, and the guy who sits down next to me, oh, you're reading your Bible. You're studying your Bible, huh? All right, great. And I said, yeah. And I'm just, doing my daily reading. He said, oh, great. Do you go to church in Japan somewhere? Yeah, go to church in Hiroshima. And it turns out the guy was a Christian. And he's a Christian down in Okinawa. He's just doing some work in the Philippines. He also teaches at his church, Bible study leader. And, we got to talking, and it was just a great time. Two Christians just talking about their life. And we were there, we weren't just talking about basketball and this. We're talking about each other's families. We're talking about our work at church. We were building each other up and encouraging each other in the Lord. I have somebody I'm praying for now in Okinawa. I praise God for that. We had church on the plane. And that was a blessing for me. And I'm so happy to share that story with you. Next week, we're going to have Daryl share with us his meditations on the church. And I'm looking forward to it. But as we close our scriptures, shall we all pray together? And I'm going to ask Braden to come up and prepare for his closing song for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here to meet our need for grace, for development of our character, for encouragement. And God, we thank you for the gift that you gave to each one of us to do our job that you have gifted us to do. Oh Lord, I pray for that grace that someone needs today, that they would receive it in all its fullness. And Lord, I would also pray for those here who need to step out and to do what it is you've called them to do here at this church. I pray that you'd empower them with your Holy Spirit and help them to do church the way you want them to do church. And we'll thank you for meeting our needs in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.